our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 397, the stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day, and evermore thy praise proclaim. And what follows, Psalter 397, the first four stanzas. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the prophet Habakkuk, and thereof the third chapter, Habakkuk 3. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. A God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, he beheld, and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills did bow, his ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and the chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the next Selah. Thou didst strike through with the staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. although the fig tree shall not blossom, and neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord, the psalmist of old has expressed, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord with all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Then on this Thanksgiving day, then thou granteth in the midst of the difficulties and trials of life, so many reasons to do the same. Thou knowest most perfectly how it has been in each and every heart thus far on this day, and thou knowest how each have come up to thy house, ah, Lord. Without thee we can do nothing. We are so dependent upon thee. May it please thee in this hour, hearts that are still hard, unbroken, that they may become soft in this evening hour. Well, thou grant a profound impressions of thy goodness, but also of thy justice. And then on Thanksgiving Day, when it may be well, then it shall be preceded by a praying day, and it shall also be accompanied with prayer. To that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee, when we stand on the threshold of another season, and if in this season thou shalt usher us into eternity, that we may be prepared, born again, and as a poor sinner washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, bind more and more upon the hearts in these solemn and serious times how dependent we are upon thee for everything. To that end, Lord, bless the labor of our hands. Provide for the family circles. May there be those times that providentially thou may do wonders, but that in itself is too short for eternity. Well, thou bless thy word in the church. Help the consistory to that end, who is sufficient unto these things. wilt thou help and remember and bless the house visitation. Bless the instruction of the youth when catechism classes hope to commence, and also on the last evening of this week when the confession of faith hopes to gather for the first time. Oh, work mightily, lovingly in their hearts to become a living member of the living church of that living King. Bless the labors, the instruction out of thy holy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Bless thy word in our Christian school. Wilt thou remember and help all those that labor therein and do grand traveling mercies. Lord, grant sires at thy throne of grace exercised with the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, the persecuted church, mission work, also our mission field. And do remember the beloved for the Father's sake under trying circumstances. Lord, remember the nations of the earth, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, the love waxing cold. Then we are given to hear thy footsteps. May we be given to hear. Who perceives it, who takes it to heart, and may there be a hastening given to find a place of shelter under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. Lord, remember our poor nation that continues on its downward spiral quickly to destruction. We have departed so far from thy word and from thy institutions. The unborn are daily murdered, also the elderly ones, the Sabbath day desecrated, and the seventh commandment trampled upon. Oh, then that warfare between the two kingdoms, thy kingdom and the kingdom of the devil, that continues, and that shall only become greater and fiercer as we draw nigh to the end of the world. Oh, Lord, may it be used, accompanied by thy Spirit, that there may be a hastening for our life's sake. And thou hast declared in thy holy word that the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. O Lord, under all thy goodness, under thy word, under all the callings, may there be repentance from our evil and worldly ways, and may we be given to follow hard after thee. May sin become sin and guilt become guilt, and a fleeing to that fountain of blood which has been shed by thy dear Son. Lord, then at the beginning of another season, the fears, the concerns, the worries, they can be so manifold. Grant a place at thy footstool. We remember the sick and afflicted. Father, in the hospital, may the means be blessed, and above all the calling sanctified. Remember those that struggle with pain, weariness of the body, weakness of the mind. Remember the handicapped, the blind daughter who hopes to commemorate another birthday in this week. We commend her unto thee above all for her never dying souls. Then we need spiritual eyes, a rod by thy Holy Spirit. We remember all the elderly ones. May have another Thanksgiving day. May it be a wonder unto them. Above all things, save their never dying souls. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones with those empty places that remain empty and at times only seem to become emptier. May it be filled with thy work and with thy presence. Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Bless the family circles. May love abound. When it is different, wealth of grand healing. What has been separated, bring it together. Remember those that struggle with addictions and temptations. May they be given to bow their knees, use the means, and may it be blessed, our Lord. We live in a time of so many temptations, and Satan has but a short time. Thou art still gathering a church. We humbly beg of thee. May it be a season of thy sovereign good pleasure, that many may be wrought upon the further leadings. It is a week of preparation in the midst of the congregation to examine whether the Lord has begun that good work, whether we have become a mourner and a seeker, a great sinner in thy holy sight, with a vehement desire to walk in thy ways, and then the need to experience that our debt needs to be paid, to come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and where the King has declared, do this in remembrance of me. May we be given to remember one another in prayer. Lord, wilt thou grant thy help in this evening hour? Grant thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in listening. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 432, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. A God Jehovah reigns, His are all domains, tremble at His word, peoples who have heard of the power of Him, whom a cherubim, his great throne has taken, let the earth be shaken, and what follows. 432, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Habakkuk 3, the verses 16, 17, and 18, where God's word and our text reads thus: "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble, when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Our text words speak of a praising prophet under pending judgments, with three thoughts. In the first place, why the prophet trembled. Secondly, what the prophet foresaw. And thirdly, wherein the prophet rejoiced. A praising prophet under pending judgments. Why the prophet trembled. What the prophet foresaw. And wherein the prophet rejoiced. Thus first, why the prophet trembled. Beloved congregation, 3.5 years ago on prayer day, then we have spoken from the second verse of this chapter, where we read, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy." Then 5 days later, then it was fulfilled, what we read in Psalm 76, verse 8. "Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. Where the Lord has sent the coronavirus upon the earth. Where the Lord has spoken loudly and clearly, with all the different consequences." But then in the second verse, when the prophet, "I have heard thy speech and was afraid," then the prophet yet was given a prayer, that the Lord may revive the work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known and wrath remembered mercy. The Lord has still been mindful over us. But now in this evening, we have another text from the same prophet. And then in our text words, then the prophet did not have a prayer. We live in very serious and solemn times. We would say much more serious and solemn than in the time that the prophet Habakkuk lived. His name means, it means to be embraced, it means to embrace, or to be embraced. Then the prophet, by the grace of God, he was embraced by the Lord. And to that end, the prophet was given to embrace the Lord. We read in chapter 1, verse 1, of the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Not written, not perfectly clear. The time that the prophet is prophesied. But most commentators, when they compare scripture with scripture, then it is evident that it was coming closer to the time that Jerusalem, the city, the temple, would be destroyed, and the children of Israel taken into captivity. There are some that think perhaps that he prophesied in the time of King Manasseh, who has done so much evil in the country of Judah. Others think perhaps in the time of King Uzziah, when there was still some reformation. But it is written in the Word of God, it was not sufficient that the judgments would not come. Then Habakkuk has perhaps prophesied in the time of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Oh, that prophet loved this people. He has wept. He has begged that people to repent, has spoken such solemn words. If we read Jeremiah 5, shall the Lord not visit a nation as this is? Shall the Lord not be avenged? We read in verse 3 that the Lord has smitten them, but they have felt no pain. We hear the prophet exclaim in Jeremiah 22, verse 29, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. But they did not hearken. Given to trust, Jeremiah 7, verse 4, the temple of the Lord are these. The temple of the Lord are these. It was a serious time, and yet congregation, When we read of the children of Judah, 'tis true, their backslidings and their sins were manifold, but when we are honest, what is it compared to our day? The sins, the iniquity, the enmity. We only have to mention the seventh commandment. For the prophet Habakkuk, in his life, there were many riddles and many questions, especially too, in the first place, for a people that refused to repent, refused to obey, refused to walk outwardly according to his word. Why has the Lord not punished us such a people? How could the Lord be so long-suffering? Has that also become a question personally on Thanksgiving Day, to such a one as I am, that the Lord bestows so many blessings? And then the second question was, how could the Lord now use heathen nations, even more wicked than the country of Judah, to use them as instruments to punish? And then in Habakkuk 2 verse 3, we read of a waiting prophet for the Lord to execute his judgments. Young and old, boys and girls, not to make you afraid, but do we not live in solemn and serious times? Do we not hear the footsteps of King Jesus? Are we prepared to meet our Maker? We read in Amos 5 verse 13 a solemn word. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence, because it shall be an evil time. Why shall they keep silent? 'Tis possible that the prudent also go along with the sins of the time. Possible that that godly sorrow is so missing, but also as a judgment for their fellow man. And, oh, we live in a time, and therefore congregation, read the old fathers, their prayer day sermons. Read the sermons in the time of the Great Awakening. Then they have spoken of matters that used to be sin, that seem to be sin no more in that respect. Then many times the younger generation, then they are even more open for biblical instruction. The prudent shall keep silent, 'Tis the greatest judgment, think of the time of King Ahab, when he has sent Elijah to the brook Kidron, that there came silence among the 10 tribes. And then we have heard it in this chapter, the judgments also declared in the first and second chapter. We read of the prophet, "O Lord, how long shall I cry?" In chapter 1, the verses 3 through 4, the sins of Judah, we read of a Babylon who would come to chastise. And now we read in our text, "When I heard, my belly trembled. How is it with us?" Do we still tremble before that great and majestic God, good-doing, just, also concerning the nations? Oh, it is needful, when the Lord works. We read in Ezekiel 37 of those dry bones that began to shake. Think of the jailer in Acts 16 with that earthquake, that he trembled, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" But in our chapter, because we have heard it, for Habakkuk, he had a hope, the God of his salvation. That was his expectation and his rejoicing. But he was given to tremble on account of the approaching judgments. I read in Psalm 119, verse 120, that psalmist that had such a close life, when we read Psalm 119, what a tender life. "My flesh trembleth because of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." Verse 136, "Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not my law." Oh, the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 9, verse 1, "Oh, that my eyes were water, my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." The prophet was given to tremble, because the Lord, in our text words, has not given a prayer. We read in the Lamentations 3, verse 44, of a cloud, that our prayers pass not through. In Jeremiah 14, after Jeremiah's profound prayer, then in verse 11, the Lord has said unto the prophet, "Pray no more for this people." The prophet Habakkuk was given to tremble. Congregation, How is it with us and our children concerning the times? Oh, to be sure, King is still gathering his church, he's promised to work from generation to generation. The prophet may speak of the Lord's salvation, but how do we live with it? Who perceives it? When we read of our forefathers, World War I, there was yet a church that was exercised with the judgments of the Lord, and to some the Lord has revealed that the Netherlands would be spared. Before World War II was different, there was a church that was given to bow under the Lord's justice and under his judgments. And those times, what are they compared to our days? In those days, the multitude still went up to God's house. Sabbath was still kept. Marriage respected. But in our day, must we not say with the prophet, Lamentations 5, verse 16, woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head. The Lord is not an idle onlooker. The Lord beholds the children of men. Then there is reasons to fear, more reasons to pray, and to hasten for our life's sake. Then we read of solemn things. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. Boys and girls, if we have met the prophet in this evening on the parking lot, and he would meet our families, oh, then of course that prophet would be glad when the family circles may come up to God's house on Thanksgiving Day. But boys and girls, if we have met the prophet and we had seen him, then maybe we would ask prophet, what is wrong? Are you having a heart attack or a stroke or fainting? Oh, then the prophet would say, oh, family circles, the judgments of the Lord are at hand. And when that shall take place, shall be so profound and so terrible. A trembling prophet, the prophet has stated something of what take place In chapter 1, verse 5, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. So terrible would the judgments be. Our second thought, what the prophet foresaw. We have stated it. It was not that the prophet had a prayer, but he has stated that I might rest in the day of trouble. We read in Hebrews 4 verse 9 that there remaineth a rest for the people of God. We read in Psalm 91 verse 1, he that abideth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, all young and old. May we be given to seek the Lord. The Lord is still gathering his church. Christ has purchased his people for body and for soul. It is true. Sometimes the Lord uses his judgments as the chariot to carry them into eternal bliss. And then the prophet was given to foresee a day of trouble when he cometh up unto the people. He will invade them with his troops. The Lord has many arrows on his bow. And when we read that word invade, then in the margin it says it could also be translated or cut them in pieces. We read in 2 Kings 8, that King Benadad was sick, and he has sent Hazael to the prophet Elisha to inquire. And then that prophet Elisha was given to weep bitterly. And why? Because the prophet Elisha knew that when he would become king, that he would oppress the children of Israel. And when we read, oh, in the time of Habakkuk, if he had met families coming to church, where a child was expected, then how he would tremble. Because we read also in the prophet Amos and the prophet Hosea that the time would come that mothers expecting would be ripped open. When the Lord sends his judgments, then how terrible they should be. His troops. And then should it not be woe unto us that we have sinned. Congregation, the Lord still comes to us. still the calling to repent. We read in 1 Peter 4 verse 17 that the time has come that the judgments must begin at the house of God. When a people refuses to hearken, refuses to obey, refuses to repent, even in an outward way, the judgments begin at God's house, that the prayers are too few, no more a light upon the earth. And when the Lord sends his judgments, then also the church shall know, although not bowing under it, not agreeing, but there shall be a voice, a conscience speaking, that the Lord is just and righteous. And then we read further that the prophet, speaking of the approaching judgments, how far-reaching they would be. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, oh boys and girls, would come a time when we would visit a fig tree farmer and then walk through his orchard in the springtime, that there would be grave concerns because no blossoms. The judgments of the Lord, if we would visit a farmer with grapes and say, "Farmer, friend, shall we walk through the vineyard?" Takes place many times. And then we would look at those vines, no grapes, thus no drink for refreshment, no joy, could not be used for medicine. And then further, the labor of the olive tree, it shall fail. Word can also mean lie. Could be expectation. But when the harvest has come, no olive oil. Read in the time of Solomon that it was used as money. Would be a solemn time. The young people would seek employment. "Farmer, may I work for you?" Farmer would say, "Nothing to do." A daughter to a large family, "May I help out in the family?" That the mother would say, "The need is great, but we have no money, because there shall be no harvest." Maybe she could work for a little food. All hard to imagine when we live in a time of prosperity. But read the history of the world. Read of times of persecution. Read of times of hunger. Read of countries of genocide. And then further, then Habakkuk was given to see, because the Lord has many arrows. Then we read further the flock shall be cut off from the fold. Perhaps the enemy has come, taken them. Disease, drought. And then we further read, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Oh, let us visit the farmer. No herd in the stalls. Maybe still hear a little bleeding, a little groaning. Maybe we would find many dead in the stall. Disease on account of hunger. Then we could ask the farmer, but what has now happened with your towering pile of silage that could be seen from afar? Then hopefully there would yet be a confession, unthankful, too carnal, too earthly, too selfish. But then that farmer would tell us, oh, it is true, the Lord has blessed me so richly in the year gone by. But when the Lord closes the heavens, when he sends disease, caterpillars, all spoken of in the Word of God, then there comes a time that it comes to an end. What a judgment that the prophet was given to foresee. Do we have impression of those things, congregation? Because of our sins. Sins in the church. Lord still has a remnant. Has great respect for God's word. But are we still a light upon the hill? And the salt of the earth. The Lord is just. The prophet Habakkuk was given to see it, and he was given to believe it, because the Lord has spoken. When we consider those points, then in the church, to consider the fig trees, do we not read in the parable of Luke 13 that a farmer planted a fig tree in the midst of his vineyard, had a special place, cared for, dunged, watered, and then the owner has come to look for fruits, faith, hope, love, godly sorrow, humility, thanksgiving. There were still leaves of profession. How is it with our tree congregation? The Lord has let it stand one more year. When we consider the stalls, the flocks, oh, I read in John 6, 10, verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this vineyard, them also I must bring, they shall hear my voice, one fold and one shepherd. Have we become congregation, a part of that fold? Have we become a little lamb have we become a sheep. Concerning the oxen necessary to labor in the vineyard, but now the prophet, in the midst of the approaching judgments, then that prophet had a precious portion in which he was given to rejoice, was more than the temporal goods, but that was the work of the Lord in his heart. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 266. Let us only sing the first and the second stanza. A God is King forever. Let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored. And what follows, Psalter 266, only the first two stanzas. A praising prophet under pending judgments. Why the prophet trembled, what the prophet foresaw, and wherein the prophet rejoiced. With all matters that the prophet has mentioned, then we can understand that there would come hunger and death, and many would be taken into captivity. But then the prophet was given to speak of a yet, that was a yet of free and sovereign grace, that was the work of the Lord, which a triune God has glorified in the heart of Habakkuk. And that was a work that no devil, no world, and no man could take from him, because that is value under all circumstances. Habakkuk had a religion that had value in times of prosperity, but also in times of adversity. And when the prophet Habakkuk may speak of that rejoicing, then the prophet was given to fall on the Lord's side, to agree with his judgments, to agree with his justice, that the Lord is righteous in all his ways, in punishing the inhabitants of the earth. Can even be that there is a moment that the church is given to ask the Lord to come with his judgments, because his great and worthy name is blasphemed. A Habakkuk may say, yet I will rejoice, not a maybe and a not a perhaps, does not mean it was in his own strength. The prophet has learned the grace of God, how abounding. I will rejoice, we read in verse 18, the word rejoice, and I will joy. Two different words, that word rejoice, that refers to jump for joy. And that word joy, to be very glad, oh, young and old, the church of God has a joy that the world does not understand. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to ask for the precious things of the Lord, for that rejoicing, oh, even in that seeking and weeping, more joy than the world can afford. And then we shall be spoiled for the world. Then the prophet has said, yet I will rejoice, not to despise the gifts, but he was given to rejoice in the giver. And then he did not say God, but he has mentioned the name of Lord in capital letters. That is that covenant Jehovah. That is that everlasting faithful God. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then Habakkuk was given to rejoice in the sovereignty of God in his decree, the election, the provision, the care of the Father, the saving of the Son, and the precious comfort of the Holy Ghost. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Then providentially, we have not sought it, but then in the three texts of yesterday evening, There we also read, of my salvation, behold God, is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And in this morning, in the second verse of Exodus 15, there Moses with the children of Israel has sung, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation, he is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. And in this evening, then we are given to read of the prophet, even when the judgments would come, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, it is true. In different places in the scripture, it is called thy salvation. Comes forth from a triune God, but it is granted by the Spirit to his child. And then they may rejoice in that salvation. Oh, a deliverance from their sin, from the guilt, from the punishment, from the power and the dominion of the devil. Then Habakkuk was given to rejoice in the Lord's salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That salvation that hopes to be portrayed when the Lord granteth it on the coming Lord's Day, the broken bread and the poured out wine. And then what is necessary, a knowledge of our sin and guilt. We become a weeper, a poor sinner. And then it shall become evident in our life, because congregation, when the Lord works, then we have a love for this word. And then sin becomes sin, and guilt becomes guilt. And then there shall be that hating and fleeing. But what does the church, what did the prophet now need? He was given to rejoice in that salvation, that deliverance, and that is through Christ Jesus. Thus the necessity of saving and experiential knowledge of the dear Son of God. To that end, Christ has said, do this in remembrance of me. May the Lord grant light upon his own work, set a watch upon his own table, and exercises for his honor and for his glory. And in these solemn and serious times, what this season shall hold in, unknown unto us, the Lord has the future in his hand. May we be a repenting, a seeking people. Oh, to receive that portion of the prophet Habakkuk. Here it is only in beginning. This morning we had thought, had it written down, out of Revelation 15, the verses 2, 3, and 4, when the Apostle John was given to see the church, the sea of glass. And then they have sung the song of Moses and of the Lamb, the judgments. They are close at hand. May the Lord yet grant the prayer of verse 2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech, and I was afraid, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy before the judgments, because they shall come. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of a trembling prophet. We have many reasons, fathers and mothers with the children, to do the same. When thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth, and who shall live when thou doest those things? Lord, we humbly beg of thee, may it be used, that thou may use it by thy Spirit, that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, and for thy true people to make their calling and election sure, and to experience what in Habakkuk has explained, I will rejoice in the Lord, and the God of my salvation. We are all traveling to eternity. Ah, Lord, leave and forsake us not. May the inner chambers be more filled. Wilt thou grant sires and wrestlers for thy Zion? Wilt thou remember tomorrow evening when the consistory hopes to meet, and the following evening when house visitation hopes to commence? 'Tis a week of preparation. Grant a prayer for one another. We may thank thee that on this Thanksgiving Day we may come to thy house, yet a few words to speak. Be the after preacher. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 6, the stanzas 1, 3, 5, and 6. My righteous God, who oft of old has saved from troubles manifold, give answer when I call to thee. Be gracious now and hear my plea. Psalter 6, 1, 3, 5, and 6. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.